Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my goodness. Bad. All right, well, look, we here. We got here at 3:30.
I don't even have the YouTube open.
We're here.
Oh, my God. All right, you do that. I'll talk
for a minute. Oh, my God.
You do that. Hey, everybody. Kai Rizdahl here. Molly Wood's on the other end of the phone getting her YouTube up. Welcome back to Make Me Smart,
Good
where
stuff.
We try day after day after day to make today make sense.
After day. We're crushing
after
it.
After day.
We're making some parts, some small parts of every day make sense. We definitely are, if not all the parts, but we're still trying.
Yeah,
it is happy hour Friday. Economics on tap. I am assuming that Kai's not having a stonk tail. I hope some of you in the YouTube chat are. I'm looking now. I see you have a fancy glass. Is it hazy? It looks a little hazy.
It is. It's a hazy. It's Belching Beaver Brewery, which I'm going to assume is from Oregon somewhere. Hazer's going to haze. Hazy IPA. Just
Austin Guerrero's
like
having
20 minutes ago at the store.
Hey, nice work. Casamigos Reposado. You haven't tried Drizzly after our whole conversation? Booze delivery?
No.
Beer mosa is happening. Wow.
Ew. I don't even know what that is. But ew.
I have questions. I have invented a mocktail that I'm pretty excited about.
Yes.
I have a mango puree, sparkling water, a dash of cardamom, and some thyme to act as my hedge/shrub.
Get it? Hedge.
Yeah. I'm trying it now. Oh, it's delicious. It's delicious. I crushed it. You guys.
Good.
It turns out I'm a mocktail mixologist.
That's awesome.
Who knew?
That is awesome.
Life is never too long to get a load of me. Oh, my God. Life is never too long to discover a thing you didn't know you could do. I can make a mocktail.
I grew this time.
Too short.
Did you really? Wow, that's impressive.
Too long.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Okay.
What a delight.
With the pleasantries out of the way, shall we?
Yes, let's get to it. Yes.
Okay.
I wonder what I put in here. I can't even remember. You go first.
you try to remember and I'll pick up where you left off yesterday. We had a whole conversation yesterday about Marjorie Taylor Greene and what she actually believes in and what that represents, which is to say the mass execution of Democratic members of Congress, just to begin with, and the real seriousness of what it is that she says. And as we know, yesterday the House in full voted to strip her of her committee assignments. It was mostly partisan. There were 11 Republicans who agreed with all the Democrats to strip her of her committee assignments. So today she decided to have a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And according to a tweet from Paul Kane, who's the congressional correspondent for The Washington Post, he went behind Marjorie Taylor Greene, or as Olivia Nuzzi has decided to call her, Marge Greene, because Marjorie Taylor Greene is too grand and she doesn't deserve the honorific abbreviation MTG, just like RBG and AOC. So Congresswoman Greene. Long story short, believes in all kinds of crazy things, was stripped by the entire House of her committee assignments. There were 35 reporters there today hanging on her every word, which is just we're doing it wrong.
So yesterday when I said we should tell the truth about what this person believes and that it is okay to amplify the truth about what this person believes, that does not mean we should continue to make her a freaking celebrity and show up at her press conference that she's going to call to further her beliefs. Like, what do we have to do? What do we have to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I am embarrassed for I wish you weren't all wearing masks, except I'm glad you are, but I wish you weren't so I could pick you all out and at you for crying out loud. I saw this woman on mute on CNN all day today, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. That is not what I meant when I said it is okay to tell the world what she actually believes in, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I read this story. We talked about it in the Make Me Smart Slack. I've been talking about it with all my friends today. It is the New York Times. They released an entire series totally appropriately called The Primal Scream. All about...
Oh, I saw that this morning. Mothers. Oh, my God, I meant to mention this to you. Yes. Yep.
Like, you really got to go look at it, and you have
you
to
do.
See
it's
these
amazing.
Photos and read these stories yep. of the mothers, the three mothers on the brink, three American mothers on the brink. There are other stories such as America's mothers are in crisis. How society has turned its back on mothers. Will the stimulus yep. plan help working mothers? Working moms are struggling. And it go. And I got to say, I read this whole piece, and I believe me, I am thrilled that this is occurring. Thank goodness. They've been following some of these mothers since September. It is absolutely gut-wrenching. And like, yeah. look, maybe it's me, and part of my problem is that I always go to the rage. But I don't think that they're, but as much as I love this story,
I don't think that's the problem.
Like, there, I actually feel as though the rage was stripped out of it in a way that I don't think that I'm okay with. Because yep. Yep. these stories are utterly gutting, they're utterly devastating. Yeah. And the end of the story yeah. is like, but you know, there's hope, and they were really scrappy, and like, moms are awesome. There was a cartoon going around that's a couple insane. Of months ago that was like, you moms are awesome. You're heroes. And then the mother's on the other end, you know, with the, like the towels and just trying to just being like, yeah, we actually would prefer yeah. some help. We would prefer to not have to be so awesome. Yeah. It's unbelievable. It's
so,
unbelievable.
So super quick. It is unbelievable. And super quick, like statistical addendum to this. So we got the January jobs report this morning. In the U.S. labor market in the month of January, 275,000 women left the workforce. 80% of all those who left the workforce were women. It's insane.
Jesus.
And the idea that and look, God bless Jay Powell, because he talks all the time about lasting damage and all of this stuff. But and forget Congress, just because the idea that nobody's really focusing on this except maybe you is that's not fair. But you know what I mean? Is just craziness, because this has lasting damage to the economy. That's you know that's the thing that Powell talks about all the time, and this is a huge part of it. It's going to change
it
this
is a
workforce.
Huge, like it is, and it's going to change mm-hmm. the outlook and the opportunities. Because when we say it's going to change the workforce, what we mean is that all these women who leave the workforce are going to have a hard time getting back into the workforce mm-hmm. because all of mm-hmm. the BS that caused them to leave and get paid less in the first place and still have to do all the emotional right. labor, and then it's going to be hard for them right. to come back in to the workforce. And it's appalling. And I understand the and women they've interviewed since September are tired, but they need more rage in this story.
Let's remember that before, in the before times, like really close butting up against the beginning of the pandemic, we had gotten to the place where women were the majority of the workforce and were prospering at long last. And now all of that in less than a year has just been ripped away. Yeah. Totally agree.
So
it's unbelievable.
Super happy that this is showing up. Good job, New York Times, yep. for making it a whole entire
piece.
Wonderful package.
Piece.
I really, though, don't want you to talk about how great moms are. I want you to be pissed on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, for sure.
I also saw, just as a side note, and a bunch of people tweeted this at us, that 23andMe, the genetic testing company, is going to go public via SPAC. Which means that a company that has been allowed to be a public company that exists only to sneak other public companies into the party by purchasing them is going to sneak 23andMe in through. And look, I know that the IPO due diligence process isn't perfect, but like, remember when WeWork had to file an S-1 and all of us were like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is, I believe the term is banana pants, because all of their crazy lack of corporate governance was in the S-1. None of that is going to happen with 23andMe, a company that has unfettered access to the genetic data of millions of people. No due diligence. Right. Just like,
the little asterisk on this one is that the SPAC that is taking 23andMe public is run by Richard Branson. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Of all the completely random things, like, you're like, oh, all right, that's fine. No worries.
Okay. Maybe one of his eventual spacecraft will take all your DNA to like an asteroid. You'll never know because you didn't get to read the S-1.
and thus the plot of Seven Eves carries on. Anyway. Nice. Shall we?
Good call.
Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Yeah.
That was bravo, like that. Sir. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Shall we play a game?
We shall. Yes.
Half full, half empty.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Drew gives us some topics. Well, I know. He's like, get to the good stuff, man. They're not here for you and Molly, guy. They're here for me, Drew Justin.
Here for me.
So, hit it.
Are you half full or half empty on electric vehicles?
Oh, interesting.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I'm an empty gas tank. Hey-o. Which means I'm full. I'm half full.
Tip your weight person. They'll be here all week. I am half full. And also, let me just say, I'm not a big fan of car ads, but there was a charming, charming, charming General Motors ad this week with Will Ferrell and Awkwafina and some other people about GM's move into the electric car space. Google it, or Tony, our digital analog producer, will put it on the show page. Charming little ad. But yeah, I'm half full for sure. For sure.
Isn't it? Is that going to be in the Super Bowl? I think maybe. Yeah.
Oh, is that a Super Bowl ad?
I think it might be.
But it's 90 seconds long. That's like $15 million.
Well, they always release the 90-second version on YouTube now before there's a whole ecosystem of the ad to get you hyped for the actual ad when it airs or something.
Of course.
I don't know.
Such a noob.
But I am half full, and GM supposedly has cracked the nut on some cool new battery technology, which I want to know more about, because that's probably, you know, battery and infrastructure are the only things holding it back. But
the whole smash. Yep.
Broadly, like long term. Yeah. Come on.
For sure.
Okay. What do we got? What's next?
How about Valentine's Day gifts?
Oh, God, I'm empty. I hate.
You know,
that's it.
I'm reconsidering. I made that rude noise.
Are you?
Well, here's why. The only reason I'm reconsidering is that the way that I personally have gotten myself and my pod through the pandemic is to just basically host a series of Mad Hatter-esque theme parties. And we're even going to watch the Super Bowl, which normally I don't really care about because I kind of give up on football. But I was just like, yes. Is it a party, and can I attach a theme to it, such as nachos? Let's go. So from that perspective, if you're looking for some entertainment, any entertainment, go crazy on Valentine's Day this year. Why not?
No.
This has a lot of sugar in it, which I actually think is having more of an effect on me than bourbon. Not a big sugar.
Oh my god! It's like that time
I'm drunk
I had
on mango juice. Like, what is wrong with me?
Oh man,
I'm like a baby. All right, Drew, keep it going.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
What else do we got?
Speaking of Richard Branson, half full or half empty civilian space flights?
Oh, you mean like billionaires buying a seat?
I feel like that's civilians.
Drew's like, I don't know, man.
It doesn't say
billionaires. Civilians.
I just push the buttons.
Okay, so look,
I'm
going to go with this one. I am half empty, if only because space is still an experimental place, right? You know what I mean? And we need people up there who can actually advance the science and the technology and, you know, the astrophysics, well, which is probably all mostly figured out already. I don't think it's a tourist thing yet. That's where I am.
I don't think so either. I think, you know, you'll still have some very wealthy tourists to sort of like keep excitement up. But I don't think there's going to be civilians with any regularity. I am all the way full on a low Earth orbit economy, without a doubt. But there's no reason to jump ahead to civilians when, like you point out, there's so much work to be done.
It's work.
So, half empty.
There you go.
What a space thing. You tricked me.
I know, right?
All right, what else? I think we got one more.
We got one more, I think.
We got weir number 11.
Oh, so let me tell you what this is about. So this is a story that Scott Tong did for Marketplace a couple of days ago, pointing out that according to the latest Bloomberg Index of the most innovative countries in the global economy, the United States, which used to be number one, is now number 11. And I was thinking about that today when I was running, and this is the God's honest truth. I had a random thought when I was running. I don't actually believe that we're number 11. I mean, if you look at all of the gizmos and gadgets that we use in this economy today, how much of the IP came from here, right? Yes, we export the manufacturer. Yes, we have support staffs elsewhere. But I continue to believe, and here comes my political stump speech, because Adam Schiff is going to be the Attorney General of California. I continue to believe in the innovation and the capacity of the American economy, right? If you look at your iPhone, it says designed in Cupertino, manufactured in China. And I think that matters.
Yeah. We don't have a metric. I mean, we've actually done episodes on this on tech for, you know, the idea that we need to recalibrate how we measure GDP to include innovation. And so I am definitely willing to give you this one on a technicality, which is like, if there's not a metric to measure innovation, then I don't even know what you're trying to say right now. Study.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Bloomberg
index. We're number one. However, we definitely better get our butts in gear with respect to research and development ASAP and funding all of those things without a doubt, because it cannot only come from the private sector. And I would love to see us get hella innovative right now on some climate tech.
Sorry, can I just take us back to where we started? And then I promise I'm going to let us get out of here. But as long as we are wasting time on, and look, it's not time that's wasted. It's time that is sucked away from us on things like Marjorie Taylor Greene and the absolute ridiculousness of that entire side of our political system. We don't have brain space. We don't have capacity. We don't have the bandwidth to do the stuff we actually need to do to prosper in this economy.
Yeah.
Truly.
I mean, that's 100% true. Partisan politics destroys economies. Right. Destroys economies.
I'm going to make another plug here for Adam Gentleton's new book about the Senate of the United States and what a just drain on us that is. But anyway. Okay. That's it.
And it's over.
Shut up.
Oh, man. I love it. That is it for us. We will be back on Monday. Please send your questions and your comments. Hit us up at makemesmart@marketplace.org. You know we love a voice memo.
We do. Love them more than anything.
I love how you're trying to get us out of here. Like, I got nothing but time, man. Mango mocktail and I'm ready to rock.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera, who every Friday afternoon probably questions her choices in life. Tony Wagner is our... Okay, they wrote Hyperspace producer. I'm not saying that. He just... Ben Hathcote and Stephen Bion are our video producers. No, I'm not doing that. You know me. That's not me, man. Stephen Bion are our video producers. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on our smart devices.
That was lasers, obviously, because hyperspace. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad, also our co-star. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. The senior producer is Donna Tam, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves, the ladies with the luckiest jobs in the world. They just get to sit here and watch it unfold and hope for the best.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.